I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Automatic for the People. It's automatic, it's automatic, it's automatic. Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People, a Legion podcast. We're back with Legion. Almost a year ago, the last episode aired. Can you believe that?
Is it 362 days?
No, it's actually more than a year.
Okay.
It was March 29th was the last episode. You know what episode of the podcast this is?
No.
98. So we have two more episodes. Whoa. So before we do 100. So if you're scratching your head going like, what the hell happened to the episode you said you were going to do? Well, we actually had two guests lined up. One of them couldn't do it for a lot of reasons that are completely understandable. But the one, and he'll listen to this and be like, you weren't excited about me? But actually the one I was really excited about when the idea came up was that your daughter was going to watch I Kill Giants, and we were going to podcast about it. Probably short podcast, because I don't imagine she wants to talk for an hour and a half about a movie. Or we could just have her recount the plot, because that's always fun. And she never watched the movie. She even asked me last week, she was like, are y'all going to podcast about the movie? I said, yeah, are you going to watch it? Yeah, I'm going to watch it. And then she never watched it. So, I'm thinking maybe if you can get her to watch it in the next 2 weeks, we can record a special 100th episode with Casey talking about I Kill Giants. So,
well, I mean, she's been wanting to watch it, but the, you know, it's been like the, well, we're not going to podcast about it, so no, I'm not going to watch it. And she won't watch it by herself, so.
Well, I mean, so we just need to set a date.
Well, I mean, it's mostly been my fault, I can say that, but. If we're not going to do it, she's not going to.
But if she watches the movie, we would definitely record a podcast. If she wants to.
Well, it fell over the weekend, so.
That's a, well, and it was Easter weekend, so there was a lot, yes, of stuff going on, so.
That was part of the problem, but.
Oh, well, anyway, that's beside the point. I'm not like, attacking how old is she, 11? An 11-year-old girl. For not watching a movie. I'm just, yeah, saying, it's like a catch-22.
You're evil.
We didn't do it because she didn't watch the movie. And she hasn't watched the movie because we don't know when we can podcast about it. So, it's a big circle. So, but it doesn't matter because Legion's back, man. And I cannot tell you how freaking happy that makes me. Actually, I do want to bring up something else before we get into this. Do you know what today is?
April 4th?
Yes. Do you know what happened 3 years ago?
I had some stuff pop up on my timeline on Facebook, but.
But you don't pay attention to it. That's all right. It's not, you know, it's not like the podcast was born almost on that day. So I don't expect you to remember it, except that's kind of what happened. So 3 years ago today, I woke up in a hospital in Chattanooga and was put in a room where, you know, I found out I had cancer and all this other stuff. If you're a long-time listener of the show, you know the whole story. I won't really get too heavy into it. If you don't, then, I mean, go back and listen to the old episodes, because we talked about it a lot. But I started seeing, when they put me in the room, the only thing to really watch was 23-hour marathons of Law & Order SVU on USA, and then 4-hour marathons of The Golden Girls at night. Because as you know, you, meaning you, Ryan, when you're in a hospital, your sleep schedule is kind of just screwed. Because they wake you up every 3 hours. So,
unless they just... No matter what.
Unless they just give you something that makes you pretty much dead to the world, they're going to wake you up. And I'm one of those people, I can rarely ever just... I have to be exhausted to immediately fall back asleep. So, I watched a lot of crappy TV. Not that SVU and Golden Girls are crappy TV. I watched a lot of it. So on USA, I started seeing these trailers, or these commercials, I should say, for something called Mr. Robot. It was just this dude who I recognized riding a train, talking to himself about how maddening the world is and stuff like that, you know, the great conspiracy and just all. And I'm like, what is this? And I remember like Spencer coming in the room and I'm like, hey man, do you know what Mr. Robot is? He's like, no, I've never heard of it. Like, I keep seeing these commercials, and I'm sure he thought I was nuts. It's like, he's on whatever they're giving him and he's just tripping. So, but I would, nobody was ever there when I would see him, because there's always like,
he's on whatever they're giving him, not what on they're giving you.
Whatever. So eventually he saw it. Like, he was in the room. I was like, here it is, man. Here it is. Like, watch this commercial. He was like, what's it about? I was like, I don't know. And at the time, like, I didn't really have the energy to like look anything up. I don't even think I had my laptop at that point. I think it was still packed up in probably his car or something. And, eventually I started researching it. Well, I was doing Loose Staples at the time, which was my comic book podcast, which some days I miss and some days I'm like, I'm so glad I don't talk about comics every week anymore, because there's so many things that make me mad. And you had jumped in to help podcast Orphan Black and Loose Staples, since I didn't have the means to do it at the moment. So you were kind of like, oh, I'm enjoying the podcast stuff, and I kind of want to get into it. Like, me and Tim are talking about starting a podcast. And you remember I told you, I was like, you should look at Mr. Robot and look into doing that show with Tim. Do you remember
that? Yeah, yeah, and Tim didn't want to do Mr. Robot.
No,
yeah.
He was like, no, I want to do, the podcast is called Fenced In, right?
Yeah, I have no idea what
the Jeanette McCurdy Netflix show, which was terrible and had 2 seasons, which y'all don't even podcast about the second season. We actually did an insane
one-off,
yeah, talking about the episodes. So, and people were just like, what the hell are these fools talking about? But I'm telling you, that Tiger is amazing. It's worth it if you like bad TV. But yeah, Tim shushed the idea in favor of this Netflix show, because I was going to be huge. It had Jeanette McCurdy in it. And yeah, that didn't happen. Y'all got bored with the show after like 2 episodes. We're like, I don't want to do this, man. This show's terrible. And by then, the preview for Mr. Robot had dropped. That opening scene, Ron's coffee. And we watched it, and we were both immediately like, no, like, we need to do this. We need to talk about this show. And the minute I was able, we recorded our first episode. Then we recorded, I think we recorded one or two, maybe one more episode before the premiere. And then it premiered online. And like immediately after it premiered, we had up our first episode. So, which that's probably a couple of weeks from now, but still. Anyway, but the point being, today is the beginning of the birth of this podcast, along with, like, you know, me starting cancer treatment and, you know, changing my whole life, deciding I want to move to Chattanooga, eventually finding another job, all this other crazy stuff. But, like, it sets in motion this podcast, and I just thought it would be interesting to mark the occasion and briefly give the history of how the podcast started, which I know we've done before. So there you go. Happy almost anniversary. It's like how
sounds good to me.
It's like how your birthday is the day you're born, but like, what about the previous 9 months? Yeah, and we won't get into a debate about what constitutes life. So yeah, this is like the I'm not a female, so I don't know what you call it. Like the period before the birth, you know. So, or the time, the 9 months, whatever. I'm rambling now. So Legion is back, and that's awesome. I was excited, and immediately when it started, I was so freaking into it. But let's start with how you weren't into it and decided in the first 5 minutes you really didn't want to do this.
It was just boring. I mean, it didn't leave off where we left off. So I was like, okay, well. So I watched. They were in the freaking swimming pool. And so I'm like, okay, this is, you know, Shadow King.
Farouk, or actually I was calling him, what was I calling him? I had it in my notes. Crap. Hold on. I should have my notes pulled up. Amoliver. That's what I was calling him. Amol and Oliver, because he's both of them. Amoliver.
Yeah, so that's a good... I mean, it was a good place to start.
I don't get anything for Amoliver. Whatever, man.
It just seemed kind of boring.
Ryan's tending bar over there.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I've got my mic set different, so anything I touch near my mic is gonna make a sound.
So don't touch anything near your mic.
Oh well, that's the problem, is everything is near my mic. Everything else is not. So
yeah, your setup is is foolish. So yeah, Lenny.
Well, the mic takes up small space, so the small space is near everything I need, and the computer, of course, is everything I don't need, but that takes up the most space. So,
whatever. So yeah, it opens with the you said like literally the first 5 minutes, so. Like, it's them in the swimming pool. They have this conversation, which I thought was interesting because the two shows we're most passionate about that we discuss on this podcast are Mr. Robot and Legion. Like, we were really into Legion 1. I think that's fair to say. We loved it. And we obviously love Mr. Robot. And one of the first things Oliver, Amal, Farouk, whatever, Shadow King says is never have a conversation about time with me. And it's like the antithesis of White Rose, who almost exclusively talks about time.
I did think that was interesting that the whole start of the season two, I won't say the series, season two, is don't talk about time with me.
Especially
And
considering where we end up.
the whole episode is about time.
Including a huge reveal at the end, which I don't want to jump to yet. So they start, Lenny starts laughing, and he's like, "What?" She's like, "We're trapped." And they both just start laughing, and then the camera pans out, and they are in this like fish eye, and then you see it's like an eyeball. And then you see somebody, maybe somebody Farouk possessed at some point, I don't know. And then like that pans out. And then you see Oliver again at the club, right? Because it's his eye when it keeps pulling backwards. And he's at the club.
Right.
So, and that's kind of the dun dun intro thing. And then we get that dude saying, "There is a maze," and giving that whole speech, which reminded me of like In a World, like the old movie trailers. Didn't really understand the point of that because there's it happens twice. There's a maze section. Or does it happen three times? I know there's a maze section, and then the dude talks about the butterfly, the dude who imagines he's a butterfly, or is it a butterfly that imagines he's a guy?
No, it's both.
I know it's both.
The guy first imagines he's a butterfly.
That's what I said. You're not
Yeah.
listening to me.
Okay.
I know it's both of those. I'm saying, is there a third one
No.
besides the maze and the butterfly story? Because there's three parts to this. Like, it's divided up into three parts, right? Part one, it had a title card, and then part two, and then part three. Yes, there is. The third one is the story of the idea. How the psychosis starts. That was the third one, because that's the beginning of part three of the story. The idea starts as an egg. We'll get to it. Did you watch the episode?
Yeah.
Do you not remember what I'm talking about?
No, yeah.
Okay, the little egg hatching and the little creature coming out. Yeah, that was the third part. But yeah, the there is a maze thing. I don't know. I like the butterfly one and the other one, but this one, I watched the episode three times, and all three times I was like, I do not understand what this has to do with anything. Like everything else, I picked up on. Like the second time around, I started catching hints that were like laying, things for the future of the episode. But that, every time, I was like, I don't understand it. Like, it introduces us to the people with the teeth chattering, which is nerve-wracking. Oh my God. That's one of the worst sound effects I've ever heard in my life. And not in a, like, it sounds terrible, in, like, it made me want to shut the episode off. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't feel like it made me want to turn it off. It was just kind of one of those things that the first time I didn't get it, the second time I was like, okay. I still don't really get it, but that's how you recognize where the Shadow King has been with the teeth chattering crap.
Yeah, like eventually it makes sense, like what it's about, why it's going on, all of that stuff, but just every time they played that chattering, it just it's like nails on a chalkboard, man. And when they showed it, I did not like that. It gave me the like creeps. So from the there is a maze, that's where we eventually find David in this club, now empty club, and two characters who we know should not be together, like when we see them in the light, being together. Those two people being Tonami, who can like visit people's memories or whatever, if you're remembering from last season, and the doctor, or I'm assuming he was a doctor, played by Hamish Linklater or Hamish Linklater. Clark was the only name I think he ever was ever given. And so they were on very opposite sides at the end of last season. And here they are, like walking in on David. And immediately I was like, is he, like, I was thrown off because I knew they weren't on the same side. Did you even remember?
Linklater to me actually was when he showed up and talked to David, it was why is David not fighting this guy?
You're talking about later in the episode?
Yeah, I
Well, by then he already knew what was going on.
Yeah, he knew what was going on, but okay, well, let's go back to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It did it was kind of like, hey, I'm part of the gang now. It really didn't mean anything until he showed up, sat down, and talked to David.
Well, no, when Tonami talks to him when they're eating waffles, and he tells him like we're all part of Division 3 now, like
Yeah, that was
that's
directly after he said, "Do you have any waffles?"
yeah, which I loved. So yeah, they get him and they take him back to
Yeah, I
Division
loved it
3.
too. And then he sat down, and you got the floating bar, food bar, which whenever I move into a new house, I will install a floating food bar.
Yeah, I imagine that's pretty expensive.
I don't care. That was awesome. So I can say, do you have any waffles? Yes, we do.
So, yeah, they wake David up. I guess we're jumping ahead to that. He doesn't remember anything, or he says he doesn't remember anything.
But he does. He
Does,
doesn't, but he does.
but see, that's the question of the episode for me, is does he? Is he lying to everybody? Does he remember where he was?
Well, the question to me is the announcement in the background. So, who is not where they need to be?
Are you talking about when they wake him up?
No, listen to the
I
announcements in the
did.
background.
You need to be more specific. What are you talking about?
Someone there is not where they need to be. And I think it's her. With the repetitiveness,
You're not making any sense.
Oh, I wish I could go back and.
I assume you're talking about the voice that's always talking about, please make sure your thoughts are your own.
Yeah, and they, the same thing talks about if there's a repetitive voice
Yeah, that
in
happens
your head.
much later. You're
Oh.
jumping all over the place, man.
Well, crap, my bad. Sorry.
That doesn't happen when he first wakes up.
Well, to me, it's a constant.
It is.
It
The voice is
starts.
constant, but it doesn't have that specific moment does not happen when he first wakes up. I don't remember the some it saying somebody is not where they're supposed to be.
Well, that's my bad.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I don't remember it. So
No, I mean, I watched it 3 times. There's a voice that starts in the when he wakes up where everybody's at,
you
and
should next week when you're watching it at one point in time, make notes.
Yeah, I don't make notes. That's part of the
Yeah.
problem.
Because you're all over the place. And I don't. Like, you're talking about something that happens while he's in the chamber when we haven't even got to the part where they wake him up and we see the dude with the basket on his head. We find out that the mutants are now working for Division 3. And Tanami explains why they're all working together. This basket-headed dude, which David's the only one that seems to be weirded out by the things that are happening around him. Everybody else acts like they're normal. Like, he's like, did that guy have a basket on his head? And, like, were those, like, lady robots with mustaches? Like, what is going on? And so then we see the reunion. Well, he does talk about what he remembers, and there's flashes of stuff with Tonomy, but none of it really makes any sense. Like, especially the trees thing, although you do see the building later, and somebody falling off the building, which I would love to know what that means. But Sid and David's reunion, I thought was, well, first of all, it's like half the episode, which is fine because I'm not usually one that digs, like, and it's not really a will they won't they romance, but it kind of is, or it's a can they should they romance, I think. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm totally like invested in it, like how they make this work and how, like, high school kids, they act around each other, you know, and how they get hurt by things that aren't meant as actual slights, you know. Like, David, she's like, you left. She brings it up twice. She's like, you left twice, you know. He's like, I mean, it wasn't my fault. I was taken. And then we find out why he was taken and who he was taken by. Like, it's even crazier. So, like, their reunion I thought was just incredibly sweet and emotional. And I don't know. They're fun to watch on screen. They're so, like, playful with each other and super serious at the same time. I just really dig it. And there's also a good effect of Farouk slash Oliver in the car early on, where they're talking about how they don't know where he is and they've kind of been able to somewhat keep track of him. There's this really cool effect where the camera, like, is on the outside of the car looking at Farouk, and then it starts panning around as the window, and he's the only one in the car, but the window rolls down. And you can see on the passenger side that Lenny is in the car too. But she's not in from the front point of view. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No, that was probably the best shot of the whole
episode.
Yeah.
It definitely was really, for something so simple, it was so visually striking. Since we're kind of jumping all over the place, we do find out David's been gone for a year, 362 days, so almost a year. And he keeps telling them he just left yesterday. And she even remarks, like, wow, you look exactly the same. Which I loved his response. He's like, you look great. You know, it's such a perfect, like, thing to say rather than be like, yeah, you do too. He's just like immediately compliments her. And she tells him a little bit about what they've been doing and how they got wrapped up in trying to figure out what this catalyst is that's affecting people and turning them into chattering statues, and how it's definitely tied to the Shadow King because it keeps happening where he's at. So I don't know about you, but immediately I thought about, even though this is not it, but it made me think about the Legacy Virus from the X-Men books.
Well, that's about the time I stopped reading X-Men, but I can see where you're coming from.
Well, it's not affecting mutants, it's just affecting people. The whole idea of, like, the Legacy Virus was, it was kind of Strife's last stab at the mutant kind, who had kind of left him, had shunned him and cast him aside and made him unwelcome, and so he releases this virus that specifically attacks the mutant genome, and once you contract it, there's no cure, and all kinds of people died. Eventually, most of them were brought back, because it's comics. But, I mean, this isn't killing people, per se, but it just reminded me of, like, that kind of thing. Like, what's he doing, like, mentally to affect these people? Is it something he doesn't know he's doing? Or is it something he's doing on purpose? Like, to me, it would be interesting if it's like this side effect of his mental abilities, that when he's around a group of people now and leaves them, they just become these chattering nothings because somehow he's warped their brains and he doesn't even know it. So, but it's also more sinister if he does know it. So, and it's like a calling card, like, hey, I was here and you still didn't catch me. So, and then after that is, I said it, most of the stuff you were mentioning was in the chamber, but it's after that where they get the repeating of repetitive sounds. Like, it happens twice, like a deja vu thing. Because that's when she sees Melanie Bird, who is high as a freaking kite. So.
Yeah, and not only is she high, she... What's the dragon thing? I mean,
I don't know. Are you talking about the pipe she smokes out of?
Yeah, yeah.
That was an elephant, dude.
Okay, elephant. My bad.
It's like an elephant with a turtle shell on it. Or a tortoise. It's a... elephant tortoise? Elephant turtle makes more sense. I'm trying to combine as many words as possible. An elephant tortoise. But yeah, and it like blows the smoke in her face. Forget the pipe, dude. What in the hell was the thing walking around her room?
Well, we saw that eventually, right? He had like two canes and a wheelchair, basically.
When did it show back up? I don't remember seeing it again.
Crap, I'd have to... Next week, I'll call you on it.
What, are you going to rewatch the episode?
Yeah. Well, you know, I had to watch it twice, once on my crappy TV and once on the.
The laptop, so you could actually tell what was going on.
Yeah, because the crappy TV, when it's dark, you can't tell what's going on.
Well, I mean, I watched it 3 times, dude. I don't remember that thing showing back up again. It seems like I would remember that. That thing was creepy. It's like a werewolf in a wheelchair with canes. Like, as creepy as the mustache lady robots were, that thing is like, it's got, it's, I don't even think it's a werewolf. It's got like an ant head because it's got these little pincher things and these little antennas. Like, what the hell, man? I didn't know if
Yeah,
she,
that.
we're supposed to think she's just tripping or. And that's what starts chapter 3, the delusion thing. Actually, the butterfly and the egg are all part of the same thing, so I was wrong there. Because I actually just started it on my computer. To see, I was looking for the third part, the delusions. You know, does the man imagine he's a butterfly, or does the butterfly imagine he's a man? And then how delusions start is this idea in, you know, your head that every rational part of you is just like, no. But then it just grows and grows and grows and grows. And then he tells the story of the dude who one day decided that his leg wasn't his leg and he needed to take it off, and it in the shadows, but it shows him sawing off his own leg, which was disturbing to say the least.
Yeah, to me, that was. I just wanted to turn that part off. I was like, oh my God.
It was pretty rough. So they come up with this, well, David talks to Clark, Hamish Linklater, and they have this interesting discussion of basically Clark saying he doesn't believe David, that he doesn't remember. And he tells him this story about how him and his mom used to eat ice cream while they were watching soap operas. And there's a great, like, hold on just a second. And then the dude sets the ice cream down as just an indication of, like, this is him telling you. He does not believe you. And then I love David just looking at him going like, you know, I can read your mind, right? And he just gets up and walks away from the table. He's like, by the way, Dr. What is the thing, the basket head's name? Fukuyama. I don't know if he's a doctor. I just assume everybody in the show is a doctor. Fukuyama, they want to see
And
you.
yeah, it's got to be close to Fukuyama.
I
I
think it's
don't
Fukuyama.
know.
That's what I wrote down. So David goes to see the basket-headed dude and his lady mustachioed robots, which dude, I know you never played Portal, but oh my God, they sound like the robot on Portal. I can't remember her name, but people that play video games will remember. It sounded just like her. And it creeped me out because she was so damn creepy. They were pretty creepy too, especially with their faces in those magnifying glasses, which was disturbing. But yeah, I noticed the building that he remembered being on top of is in one of the pictures. Because there's pictures on four or three, four sides of the wall. One is trees, one is a stairwell, one is a group of buildings, and then one is a long, it looks like a hallway, but it could be one of those like walkway bridges that connects buildings. And I don't know what the significance of all of it is, but I feel like there's definitely a significance. But I love the aesthetic of, like, the whole episode looks amazing. Like, everything looked amazing. So they tell David that the plan is to find Farouk's body, his original body, wherever it's being hidden, destroy it, and to kill Farouk while he is in Oliver, which David does not like. All the while, like, if you listen through the episode, I didn't notice it till the second time I watched it. Every time somebody sits in front of David, not every time, almost every time somebody sits down to talk to David, or he goes to talk to them, two different voices that are both him say stuff in his head, like arguing with himself. Like, when he goes to see Fukuyama, it's like, I can't read his mind. Just assume he knows everything or something like that. And then when he's talking to Clark, he's like, does he know? I don't think he knows. And it's just the first watch, I noticed it, but I thought it meant that he wasn't hiding anything and he was upset that they thought he was hiding something. But then by the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, obviously, I think he's hiding something from them. And that's him trying to talk it out in his head. But you don't think he is. You don't think he remembers?
No, I think you remember some of it. He just won't remember all of it until they start or stop messing with his mind.
So, do you think that the chamber, because after that is when he gets put in the chamber, do you think the chamber brings back those memories instead of him always remembering?
No, I think the chamber is actually kind of a time travel device. He'll only remember the past,
Well,
but
that's the whole
never.
point, to get his memories back.
Well, I think there's a future that they live in that no one is remembering or. I think there's something going on that nobody knows.
You're not making any sense.
Was so I'm right there with the show. I think the future is the future, and they think they're living in the past.
Okay.
They think they're still in that collection of all of them.
You'll
And
have to
who's.
explain this to because that doesn't make any sense at all to me.
The only one that knows what's going on is what's his name? From old Christine.
Clark, Thomas Linkletter.
Yeah, Linkletter. He's the only one that knows what's going on. That's what I think.
So they're all being brainwashed?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they're all in Division 3.
I mean, I can understand them being brainwashed, but your whole, like, they're in the future, but he's making them think they're in the past? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, by future, I mean a couple of days, not.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
not.
I still don't understand what you're saying, but I don't want to dwell on it for 30 minutes. So, we know Tanami doesn't believe him. She, Cid, starts to have her doubts after her and Tanami have a conversation. Obviously, Clark doesn't believe him. I think the doctor believes him, but the doctor doesn't really care. He just wants to do stuff to people. I don't think the Fukuyama, I don't think they care either. They just want to find Farouk and kill him. And David is their way to do that. And I mean, because it starts with them saying, like, well, if he's infected, you have to kill him. So, so he goes through the chamber thing that's supposed to make him remember everything. And while I think the shot of in the car is the single best like shot in the episode, the dance off is maybe the greatest thing I've seen on television all year.
It was pretty good.
Maybe for years, like in the last 3 years, it might be the best thing I've seen on television. Since I watched the first episode of Mr. Robot, like that dance scene was better than anything in the first season of Legion. And the breakout scene from the beginning of Legion was pretty phenomenal. But I loved the dance off. It could have easily been 10 minutes longer, and I would have. It's funny and it's tense and it's got like drama and it's silly and goofy and it's like all this stuff all at the same time. But after he comes, well, he actually teleports himself out of the sphere, which we've seen him do before. Like, it's not the first time he's, teleported from one place to another and they don't know how he got there. So I hope that they continue to explore, like, possible powers. But he sends his mind on a trip, and when it comes back, he's in, like, the basement or something, naked and covered in water. So he has this like confrontation sort of with Cid where she's like, you're hiding stuff. And he kind of tries to turn it back on her. And it's like, no, I'm the same. I just left yesterday. You're the one that's different. And then he semi apologizes and gives her this compass, which points to him, which I think is a. It's like the gun you see in the first act that pays off in the last act. I think it's how she's going to find him in the future. And by that, I mean, eventually it's revealed in well, in his dream after he gets out of the chamber, like where he really was. He was trapped in this ball and he was talking to a futuristic version of Cid, a version of Cid who came sent this ball into the past to get him to tell him that he has to help Farouk find his body. We don't know why. We don't even know if that's really Cid. I think he remembers this the whole time because if you go back and watch it, the things he says and like the way he acts definitely makes it seem like he's trying to find out well where Farouk's body is so that he can, do what he thinks the future Cid wants him to do. And I don't think he's really been like he's been missing for a year in their time, but I think what we see in the orb, I think that's the only thing that happens. And the orb immediately just deposits him into the future, 1 year into the future. Kind of like Flight of the Navigator.
That's pretty good. Of course, Sid obviously created the orb, right?
Well, maybe not created. She's definitely using the orb, or somebody pretending to be her. See, I mean, for all we know, it's Farouk pretending to be her.
Hungry.
So, and Ryan's daughter is
Actually,
hungry.
yeah, sorry.
That's fine.
Actually, yeah, I do think Farouk pretending to be her, or her pretending to be Farouk, might be. What if it's her pretending to be Farouk? That puts Farouk in love with him, and
That doesn't make any
that,
sense.
what, no, I mean, it could.
Okay.
I mean, that puts them together constantly, which is, in the show, they thought that part of Farouk was still in him. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah. Next time we record, we should record while you're awake.
Yeah, I am pretty tired. It's,
Because that made no sense whatsoever. So I mean, we can just leave it there. We've been recording for almost an hour. So I had some more stuff in my notes, but I think he's definitely trying to help future Sid out. And I think she used some kind of weird time machine. I think he's been in communication with Lenny slash Farouk slash Oliver. I mean, there's this
I did
whole.
have a question about that. What do you think about the fact that Lenny is our face of Farouk?
It's
We got a
weird.
woman, that's the face of
Well,
the Shadow King. Not the queen, but the king.
I mean, that doesn't matter. What's weird is Lenny existed in David's mind. It doesn't make sense that Lenny exists in Oliver's mind. It should be a different persona.
Well, that's why I'm asking you. What do you think about her being the.
I mean, it doesn't bother me because I like Aubrey Plaza and I think she's great in the part, but I do think logistically it doesn't make a lot of sense. It has nothing to do with her being a woman. It has to do with the fact that she was David's friend, so why does she exist in Oliver's mind?
So, who else's friend? Is she?
Nobody's. She was David's drug addict friend.
What, are you sure?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I watched the first season.
Yes, so did I.
That's all the information we got in the first season. I don't know what you're hinting at, man.
No, I'm just wondering if. There's more to it than it's David's. Third personality or first personality that, egged them along to do drugs. Is there more to it than that?
I mean, maybe, but who knows? So far, there's no evidence that there is more to it than that.
It's just weird that it would be his friend and then it rolls over, and as an audience, we still see the same character.
I agree
So.
with you. Anyway, I guess we'll find out more next week when the second episode airs. And Until then, you can tweet us at Mr. Robot Podcast. You can email us, MrRobotPodcast@gmail.com. Let us know whatever crazy theories you have. And, you know, we'll plan something fun, I guess, for the 100th episode. Because next week will be 99. We got 99 episodes. That's crazy.
Yep. 100. Yeah. Should be fun.
So, anyway.
But it'll be about Legion, so.
I just said earlier we could record a special. You didn't listen. All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody. I don't listen.
Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling.